Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
Good afternoon, happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Today's topic, 37 days until the promised burning down of America by the Democrats and the radical left to take place. We have been warning you for months and months that there would be a moment before the election in November, on November 3rd, when a countdown clock would begin to tick, counting down the days until the Democrats and the radical left launched their promised all-out war against America and against American citizens. That clock that we've been warning you about began to tick on Saturday with the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett for the United States Supreme Court by President Donald Trump. Today is Monday. We have 37 days left until the promised destruction begins. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are taking all of the threats and the promises and the claims and the statements by the Democrats and the radical left to burn down America and destroy our way of life if they don't get what they want. What do they want? According to them, they want to defund the police. They want to remove all white people from any and all positions of power. They want reparations for slavery. They want Donald Trump dead. They want white people to apologize for being white. And they want an end to a merit-based capitalistic economy. In short, the Democrats want Marxism to replace our constitutional republic. The only question is, will you lay down and let them take our country from us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered in the chat room. And Lord, we just pray as we get closer and closer to the elections and all of the threats and all of the things that people have been saying about all this destruction that's going to happen after the election, no matter who wins. We ask you, Lord, to keep us safe in these trying times. And Father God, we seek to be a blessing to the lost people around us. Let us get not sucked into all this nonsense and all this political garbage. And let us remember the reason why you've left us here. And that's to tell lost people about you and to edify and encourage the saints. And we commit this time to you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome everybody. Very glad that you're here. I hope you had a good weekend. And for those of you who listened to the Bible study last night, a lot of people have been telling me it was a blessing, and it felt great to me. And I'm always glad to hear from you guys that it's a blessing to you. Last night, we talked about the Biblical Day of Atonement, which actually started sundown yesterday and is it's in effect until sundown today. So the Jewish Day of Atonement is happening right now. And last night we talked about a whole bunch of things. We were in Leviticus chapter 16 and Hebrews 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. We were in Matthew 24 and check out that program when you get a chance. There is so much information that we packed into that program, not just about the Jewish feast day of the Day of Atonement, but we also talked about how it relates to Bible prophecy. Now, a lot of people were surprised, and this was just one tiny little item that we talked about last night, but a lot of people were surprised in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we talked about the 18 characteristics or traits that the Apostle Paul gives Timothy about perilous times in the last days. And I just wanted to, for those of you who didn't attend the Bible study last night or haven't listened to it yet, I just want to give this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, there's 18 different things mentioned there. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Go through the list. You will see that the Apostle Paul mentions 18 different traits of things that you will find in people in the perilous last days when they come. Now, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, or if you've been reading NowTheEndBegins.com for any length of time, you know that we are in those last days that Paul warned Timothy about right now. And it's interesting that here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, there's 18 different characteristics of people that you will find in the last days. Now, 18 is a number that is divisible by 3. And it's 6 plus 6 plus 6 is how you get to 18. And with that knowledge in mind, when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, every single one of those traits that Paul says will be found in people are traits of Antichrist. And it's no coincidence and it's no accident that there is 18 of these traits. Think about it. The Antichrist is a lover of his own self. The Antichrist is covetous. He wants what God has. The Antichrist is a boaster. He says, I will ascend up to the sides of the north. The Antichrist is proud. Job chapter 41 says that Leviathan is the king over the children of pride. Blasphemers of Daniel and Revelation say, and Matthew say, that Antichrist is a blasphemer, and all the way down the list that it goes. So not only are these 18 characteristics and traits things that we see in people in the last days, and when we look at all these videos of the riots and the protests and the police cars being burned down and the people being beaten and put into comas and the people being shot and killed and the women being raped and over $2 billion worth of damage around the country, we can absolutely see very many of these characteristics happening on the news all day, every day, right now. But these 18 characteristics are also the characteristics that you will find in Antichrist. Antichrist, does he have a form of godliness? He absolutely does. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. That is a form of godliness. And that's exactly how the Antichrist is going to fool people. And this is the strong delusion that 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, 9, and 10 talk about. The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to start this program off with that little nugget from last night. A number of people have contacted me and said that that was a real eye-opener for them. And look, when God wrote the Bible, why do you think that we see references in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 8 through 14? Why do we see references to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in the Song of Solomon? Well, we see it because God has sprinkled his Bible prophecy all through the Bible. Do you think that the only place where it talks about the pre-tribulation rapture is in the writings of Paul? you would be very, very, very mistaken. The Apostle Paul is the one who reveals the mystery of the rapture to us. Without the Apostle Paul revealing it, we would not know that Song of Solomon chapter 2 is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We wouldn't even know that. But when we take what Paul has revealed and then we use that as a template over the rest of the Bible, well, man, oh man, we see the pre-tribulation rapture in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the book of John. We don't see it in places like Matthew chapter 24. But when God writes Bible prophecy, if you are doing your due diligence and you're rightly dividing, you are going to see repeated themes in places that you never saw them before, because rightly dividing is the key that unlocks everything. If Daniel is the book that unlocks Revelation, rightly dividing from 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing is the key that allows us to see all these different prophecies, who they were written for, and how they're going to be fulfilled. So I just thought you would find that interesting in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, those 18 traits, those 18 personality characteristics that Paul said you'll find in the last days, 6 plus 6 plus 6, 18 different traits, and every single one of them are traits of Antichrist. So with that, speaking of Antichrist, let's start talking about today's topic. And today's topic, Donald Trump on Saturday, he confirmed his nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. And immediately, the radical left began to issue threats. And they are going to stop this nomination by any means possible. They are going to stop the election of Donald Trump by any means possible. Now, they haven't been successful over the last 3¾ years to get rid of Donald Trump. In fact, they have failed miserably. Just look at the Russian dossier, Russian collusion, impeachment, smear tactics and campaigns. Wherever you look, the radical left, the Democrats, they are the radical left. They have merged. There's no such thing as a non-radical Democrat in 2020. And every single shot that they've taken at Donald Trump has failed miserably. They have not removed him from office. They did not impeach him. They have not slowed him down. They have not stopped him. And here we are, 37 days away from the election, and Donald Trump is on the verge of adding yet another justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. And it is absolutely killing the Democrats that they are powerless to stop it. Over the last 36 hours, you have seen endless headlines about Donald Trump. He only paid $750 worth of taxes, which is a lie. And this is from an anonymously sourced story from the New York Times that every single liberal outlet, including the Drudge Report, who is now gone liberal, every single liberal outlet is now broadcasting around the clock Donald Trump and his non-payment of taxes. And it is about 98.6% absolutely not true. But one thing that they're not talking about is his salary as president of the United States is $400,000 per year. He's at the end of his fourth year. He has made $1,600,000 in salary as the president of the United States, and he has donated every single penny of his salary to places like the Veterans Association administration. He has donated money to military groups that raise support for veterans who are hurt, and he has given his money to a variety of different patriotic causes, he hasn't kept 1 cent of that $1.6 million that he has rightfully earned as President of the United States over the past 4 years. But you won't hear them talk about that. And they'll be talking about this tax return thing right up until tomorrow night when the first debate starts. And then all they'll be talking about is what did or did not happen during tomorrow night's debate. So I want to play this clip for you from Tucker, where he's talking about how the anarchists, the radical left, is working to tear down America. And it's really kind of shocking. Not shocking because we haven't heard these things before, but when you really consider what's being said and what's really actually happening, did you ever think that we would live long enough to see America under severe attack by its own people? And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing, because the Democrats, they support these riots. And in fact, the Democratic candidate for vice president has told us repeatedly that these riots are not going to stop and that she supports them 100%.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Normally, Democrats lie through their teeth, but in that 34-second clip that I just played for you of Kamala Harris being interviewed by Stephen Colbert back in June, she has told you the truth 100%, and you should believe every single word that you just heard her say from her own mouth, that these riots are not going to stop. They have been blessed by the Democratic Party at the highest level. So, is the Democratic Party rioting out in the streets? No, they're not. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the Sunrise Movement, the Occupy Movement, they are rioting out in the streets. But the reason why nobody's stopping it is because the rioters have the blessing of the Democratic Party. And this is exactly what Adolf Hitler did. He raised up a group of rabble-rousers that they called the Brown Shirts, just like Antifa wears black clothing with hoods. The Brown Shirts wore brown shirts. And Adolf Hitler had this citizen army, and whenever he wanted to intimidate somebody, just like what the radical left does, is a pack of people would go to a restaurant and they would surround, say, a politician and his wife trying to have lunch, and 20, 30, 40, 50 brown shirts would walk into the restaurant and they would scream orders and they would intimidate, they would harass. People would run out of the restaurant like crazy, and then the politician would be scared, too scared to not listen to what he was being threatened with, and he would comply with the will of the Nazi Party and the brown shirts. Well, that worked pretty well for Adolf Hitler, and that's exactly what the Democrats are doing right now. That's why you see people like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. They are all supporting, you call it a protest, when entire city blocks are burnt to the ground. That's not a protest. That's a riot. When people like David Dorn are shot 7 times and then his bleeding body is laughed at and kicked and spit upon by the Black Lives Matter soldiers who killed him as they run out of the building, that's not a protest. These are riots. So I want you to take a listen to this clip from Tucker. He's talking about how the anarchists are working to tear down America. Take a listen.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Picture this. You're sitting eating dinner in a restaurant with some of your friends on a Friday night. You're deep into conversation when in the distance you hear shouting. You look up and you see a group of demonstrators walking down the street yelling and holding flags that say Black Lives Matter. The group is loud, but you don't have a problem with what you think they are saying. Of course, Black Lives Matter. You agree with that completely. It seems obvious to you. You're against racism. You've never mistreated anyone because of his race. You're not a bad person. So at first, it doesn't occur to you that this mob of angry people might be angry at you. Why would they be? But then suddenly the mob is there at your table, screaming in your face, throwing chairs, smashing glasses, sweeping cutlery to the floor, threatening to kill you. Within seconds, you're running for your life. That happens in our country now. It happened this weekend in Rochester. Here's what it looked like.
Now, let me just stop that right there for a second. Do you hear that crazy intense noise level and the sound of tables being flipped over and plates being broken and silverware being thrown across the street? Can you imagine how unsettling that would be? I want you to picture you're having a Sunday afternoon omelet with your kids and with your wife, maybe some friends from work, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 30, 40, 50, 60 people show up and they are surrounding your table. They are screaming at you at the top of their lungs and they are taking everything that's on the table. They're flipping it over and they're throwing it around. Can you imagine, unless you were like a trained martial artist or you were a member of SEAL Team 6, or you are a highly trained military person. I have a friend of mine, Steve, and he's one of my street preachers, and he's a cop up in Jacksonville. He was a Marine sniper for 7 years, and if that was to happen to him, he would have no problem at all. He would respond to that in 2 seconds, and he wouldn't even break a sweat doing it. But that's because my buddy Steve is a very highly trained and sophisticated. He has military training. He has police training. He's worked in prisons. He's used to handling riots. He's on the streets every single night of the week up in Jacksonville, Florida. He is used to dealing with that. But people like me and you and the average American citizen, if that were to happen to us, I mean, it would be 10, 15, 30, 45 seconds before we could even figure out what was happening. That's how long that it would take our mind to process. And now, just picture what that would be like for somebody who was a senior citizen, somebody in their 70s or 80s, or maybe somebody who was really young, like a teenager, like 14 or 15. Those type of people are going to really have a hard time processing what's going on. And when you listen to that clip that I just played, and you hear that noise, and you hear the threats and the shouts and the screaming, all you have to do is go to YouTube and watch any video of the brown shirts from Nazi Germany. This is exactly what they did. And so what Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all the rest of these people, what they're doing, it's an absolute page from the Nazi handbook. There's no question about it.
What did those people eating dinner in Rochester do wrong? No one ever said. No one ever does. Or how about this elderly couple in Pittsburgh? They tried to get something to drink in an outdoor cafe over the weekend. Watch what happened.
Well, the white people that built the system set against mine. You old d***.
And just so you know, this was the first clip was from Rochester from 3 weeks ago. This clip is from Pittsburgh from about 10 days ago. But these same exact scenes are repeating themselves every single day of the week in every major democratically controlled city all across America. These things are happening in Philadelphia, New York City, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, Detroit, St. Louis. These things are happening every single day of the week.
F you, old man, screams the BLM protester and gives him the finger. A female protester strides up and guzzled the old woman's drink. Why? Because she can. The ultimate humiliation. So what exactly did the elderly couple do to deserve the abuse you just saw? What was their crime? If you listen to BLM, you know the answer. They live in America. They work and pay taxes. They support a system that systematically murders people. In effect, they're war criminals, guards in the world's largest concentration camp. That's BLM's position.
Now, I want to talk for just a second about what Tucker just said. Tucker just said that one of the main bones of contention by the Black Lives Matter and Antifa people is that white people are guilty, not because of anything that they've said or anything that they've done. Black Lives Matter contends that white people are guilty of any one of a dozen different crimes that they've created, but the white people are guilty simply by virtue of the fact that they happen to be white. And over the weekend, there's a man by the name of Ibram, what is his last name? Ibram something or other. And he's one of those, Ibram X. Kendi. And he's one of those blue check people on Twitter. And he posted a tweet talking about Amy Coney Barrett. He said this: some white colonizers adopted black children. They civilized these savage children in the superior ways of white people while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial, while cutting the biological parents of these children out of the picture of humanity. And this, of course, is critical race theory. And Ibram Kendi was saying this about Amy Coney Barrett because Amy Coney Barrett and her husband, they have adopted two Haitian refugee children. And they adopted them years and years and years ago. It's not like they adopted them in the last 6 months when they had an idea that she might be a nominee for the Supreme Court. They have had these children in their family 12, 13, 14 years now. And Amy Barrett and her husband, God laid on their heart to be compassionate to these Haitian refugees. They adopted them. They took these children that nobody else wanted, that didn't have parents to care for them, and they took them into their home, and they raised them, giving them every advantage that they could give them, and raising them side by side with their five biological children, and putting no difference between any of them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a very commendable thing to do. That's a very Christian thing to do. And whenever somebody adopts children that have no parents, especially in a place like Haiti, that is an incredible act of love and mercy. And yet the radical left, one of the main talking points that they're promoting against Amy Barrett and her husband, is the fact that they dared to adopt these two children that nobody else wanted, and how they are calling them white colonizers. And they are saying that that Amy Barrett and her husband view black people as savages, and they only adopted these children so that they could teach them the superior ways of white people. These leftists who say these type of things, these are very, very, very mentally sick individuals. Not only do they have mental problems, not only do they suffer from psychosis of multiple different types of psychoses, but it is also a demonic thing. And we have been talking for months now about the rising spirit of Antichrist here in America and around the world. And every time that we see these type of attacks, they can only be coming from one place. They are coming from Antichrist. They are coming from that spirit that is now flooding this country and sweeping around the world as God continues to judge America and to judge the entire world. Now, speaking of white privilege, I want you to listen to this clip. The first 45 seconds of it is by Jordan Peterson, but then the bulk of this clip is from a man by the name of Brandon Tatum, and he is speaking on behalf of Prager University. Brandon is a black guy, and he is going to tell us about white privilege. And I want you to listen to what he has to say, because what Brandon Tatum has to say is exactly true. It's exactly right. He's a black guy. So he is attacked constantly. They call him names like Uncle Tom. But the truth is the truth. So listen to Jordan Peterson and Brandon Tatum talking about white privilege.
You know, I think the idea of white privilege is absolutely reprehensible. And it's not because white people aren't privileged. You know, we have all sorts of privileges, and most people have privileges of all sorts, and you should be grateful for your privileges and work to deserve them, I would say. But the idea that you can target an ethnic group with a collective crime, regardless of the specific innocence or guilt of the constituent elements of that group, there is absolutely nothing that's more racist than that.
Now, I'm going to stop Jordan Peterson right there. Jordan Peterson just said that what the radical left does is they target an entire ethnic group, in this case, white people, and they charge them with a collective crime. Now, that is not only racist, but that is Marxist. That is fascist. You cannot brush an entire ethnic group of people and charge them with one single crime. But that's exactly what the Black Lives Matter movement is doing. Ironically, over 60% of the Black Lives Matter movement is made up of white people. So we could talk about that at some future point. But let's continue to listen to Jordan Peterson.
It's absolutely abhorrent. I can't. I mean, that if you really want to know more about that sort of thing, you should read about the kulaks in the Soviet Union in the 1920s, KULAKS, because they were farmers who were very productive. They were the most productive element of the agricultural strata in Russia, and they were virtually all killed or raped and robbed by the collectivists, who insisted that because they showed signs of wealth, they were criminals and robbers. So, and one of the consequences of the prosecution of the kulaks was the death of 6 million Ukrainians from a famine in the 1930s. The idea of collectively held guilt at the level of the individual as a legal or philosophical principle is dangerous. It's precisely the sort of danger that people who are really looking for trouble would push. So, and just a cursory glance at 20th century history should teach anyone who wants to know exactly how unacceptable that is.
So before we listen to Brandon Tatum, I just wanted to say that what Jordan Peterson just said is he was talking about the charging an ethnic group with a collective crime. And then he closes with talking about how we have seen these things repeat themselves over and over and over throughout the 20th century. We saw it in the Soviet Union with Marx and Lenin and Stalin. We saw it in China. We saw it in Italy with Mussolini. We saw it in Nazi Germany with Adolf Hitler, and these were the fascists. And the fascists charged the communists and the Jews with all these different problems. And every one of these radical groups, whether you're a socialist, a communist, a Marxist, a fascist, whatever you happen to be, all of these groups pit the other groups against each other, and they all vie for supremacy. But after the 20th century that we've had and the seemingly endless and relentless push by communists, Marxists, fascists, and socialists to take control around the world, Cuba, Venezuela, wherever you look, socialism has failed, communism has failed, Marxism and fascism have all failed. They have failed repeatedly. So it's really kind of funny that here we are 20 years into the 21st century, and what do we see? We see them reviving Marxism and using fascism to ram it home under the guise of socialism. Wrap your head around that one. Now, listen to Brandon Tatum, and he is going to tell you the truth about white privilege. Take a listen.
Woke white people, I'd like to ask you a favor. Please stop asking for forgiveness for your white privilege. You're not fooling anybody. You're not helping black people or any other minority. And your public confessions don't make you look virtuous. They make you look disingenuous, which is a really nice way of saying fake, phony, and fraudulent. For starters, what is white privilege anyway? Because you're born with white skin, you have all these advantages that I don't have? Like what? Like you can get a mortgage loan that I can't get? I got a loan. At a great rate, by the way. And I got the house. Why would a banker not give a loan to someone who met the loan requirements? He doesn't want to make money? I've never heard of such a banker. Or how about this? You can enter a store and not be looked upon with suspicion, but I, a black person, cannot? Except that has never happened to me. But if I was a young dude with my pants hanging down to my butt, I could understand why the store owner would be concerned. I used to be a cop. Believe me, I understand. If I owned a store, I'd be tracking that kid too, whether he was black, white, or anything else. Or what if I had a store that had a history of being shoplifted by young black women, and a young black woman with a bad attitude walked in? Would I be suspicious? Yeah, I would. Who wouldn't? I call that common sense, not bigotry. But there's another way of looking at this. In many ways, in today's America, blacks have more privilege than whites. It's been my experience that whites bent over backwards to give blacks every possible advantage. If two people are equally qualified for a job, the black person will usually get it. Big companies and prestigious universities fall all over one another trying to sign up talented black people. If you deny this, you are denying reality, which is what the person who dreamed up this whole thing did. A professor of women's studies at Wellesley College by the name of Peggy McIntosh. She wrote in an article in 1988 about all the white privilege she thought she had. She listed 46, including this one. I can choose bandages and flesh color and have them more or less match my skin. Wow, that's some kind of privilege. Soon, others took up the cause. Today, these so-called progressives dominate our colleges and universities, imposing this absurd notion of white privilege on their students. That's too bad because it does nothing good for white students, and it does nothing good for black students. But of the two, ironically, the white students get the better of the deal. Let me explain. To acknowledge your white privilege is supposed to make you feel bad. Only it doesn't. It makes you feel good because by acknowledging your white privilege, you're declaring yourself to be enlightened. And as a virtue bonus, it also makes you a better person than those whites who don't acknowledge their privilege. White privilege, which is supposed to make you feel bad, ends up making you feel good. Meanwhile, the real damage is to blacks. What makes whites feel good makes blacks angry. More than 50 years after the civil rights movement, the message is, you're still oppressed. How can this not create a victim mentality? And anyone of any color who sees himself as a victim gets angry. Now, I wouldn't deny for a second that there are privileges in life. They're all over the place. There's two-parent family privilege. That's huge. There's being lucky to be born in America privilege. There's good gene privilege. But white privilege? Doesn't it depend on the person? Let's take this for example. A black lawyer and his wife have a baby, and a meth addict, single white woman, has a baby. Which kid has privilege? The white one? Because he's white? Come on now. And here's the kicker. Even if it were true, all those claims about white privilege, so what? Would it change a single thing I did? If white people apologize for being white, is that supposed to help me? In what way? So let's be real. White privilege is an attempt by the left to divide Americans by race. It's all theory and all nonsense. If you want to fall for it, go ahead. It's a free country. But don't try to sell it to me. I'm an American who deal with my fellow Americans one-on-one. Try it. It works.
So there
I'm Brandon Tatum for Prager University.
So there you have Brandon Tatum from Prager. And he is talking about white privilege. And obviously everything he said was true. If you were a store owner and your store had been repeatedly robbed by a certain group of people over a period of time, and then somebody who fits that description walks through your door, you would have to be some kind of an idiot not to be suspicious of that person. And this is just common sense. But obviously, there is no such thing as white privilege the way that the radical left means to say it. We all have privilege. Anybody who lives in the United States of America, whether they are in a homeless shelter or they're living in a mansion on the beach, every single person who lives in this country on any level has a level of privilege that people in other countries do not have. And that's why, because even if you're the homeless person living in the homeless shelter in America, if you want to get out of that homeless shelter, if you want to change your economic standing, there's many places you clean yourself up, you find a place to stay. If it happens to be the homeless shelter, that's fine. You go looking for a job. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of businesses that would hire a clean and presentable and well-spoken homeless person. So even at if you're at technically the bottom of the ladder here in this country, you still have opportunities afforded to you should you choose to take them that people in other countries do not have and indeed would love to have. If you look at those videos of a lot of the poverty in places like Africa, and those people are combing through handfuls of dirt trying to find something edible to eat, you don't think that they would trade places and happily so with somebody who's living in America in a homeless shelter? You got to be kidding me. That person would trade places with a smile on their face in 2 seconds. So, is there privilege in life? Absolutely there is. And that's what I like about what Jordan Peterson said. He said that if you do have a level of privilege in your life, then you need to work to be worthy of that privilege. If you've had good things handed to you, well, there's some responsibility there for you to pay that forward, for you to pass that along and do what you can to help somebody else. That's what people should do. That's what Americans should do. That's what Christians should do. The Bible says that we should look more upon the things of others than upon our own things. And we should care that there's people in poverty and people who don't have food and people who don't have clothes. And if we have the opportunity to use the status and the ranking and the privilege that we have as Americans to pass a blessing on to somebody else, well, if you're a Christian, you are commanded to do that. And I know many, 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 many Christians who do just that. An article on the Daily Caller today says this: here are the people with large platforms who have warned of violence if the GOP replaces Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And of course, we know that Donald Trump has nominated Donald Trump has nominated Amy Coney Barrett. The article says this: following the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, with only weeks left before the 2020 election, some activists and people with high profiles have called for action to resist President Donald Trump's potential selection. Some have even threatened violence. Trump's nomination to the court is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who has already faced smears for her Catholic faith, including by Democratic California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who says the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you, which is of concern, she said. The president's nomination now requires a vote from the Senate, which obviously the Senate is going to pass. Now, there's a man who's a playwright, and he is one of the blue check people on Twitter. If you've ever wondered why Twitter puts a blue check next to certain people's names, those people receive those blue checks because Twitter has identified that they are very influential to a large group of people. They get thousands of reposting of their comments, or thousands of likes and thousands of shares. So if somebody is a blue check person on Twitter, and it's mostly liberals, but there are some conservatives who have a blue check. But if somebody is on Twitter with a blue check next to their name, that means that for good, bad, or indifferent, they are influential people, and what they say is listened to by a lot of people. So here we have a man by the name of Bo Williman, and he's an American playwright and he's a screenwriter. On September 18th, he said this: we're shutting down this country if Trump and McConnell try to ram through an appointment before the election. And 57,800 people have tweeted about that, and 121,600 people have liked that comment. A man by the name of Reza Aslan says, if they even try to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we will burn the effing thing down. So he is calling absolutely for violence. And then, in case that there was any sort of a misunderstanding with what he said, 4 days later, he said this: it's been a few days since I tweeted that if the GOP tries to jam a SCOTUS through before the elections, that we burn the effing thing down. And since the death threats and Breitbart headlines about my tweet have stopped, let me just say that if the GOP tries to jam SCOTUS through, we will burn the effing thing down. And then he followed that tweet up with this: over our dead bodies, period. Literally, period. Canadian political science professor Emmett McFarlane of the University of Waterloo tweeted, burn Congress down before letting Trump try to appoint anyone to the Supreme Court. Laura Bassett said in a tweet that appears to have been deleted, if McConnell jams somebody through, which he will, and he will, there will be riots. So these are various blue check liberal influencers, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of more of these same type of comments. And they are calling for violence. Now, I have this question that I want to answer. David on our NowTheEndBegins.com website, he posted this comment under the article advertising today's podcast. He said, "Good morning. I do agree with your preface. I most certainly do. Also, for the first time, as far as I know, our nation is on the verge of what could be a very corrupt election. Irregardless," and my mom used to yell at me, "there is no such word as irregardless, but David, I use that word all the time, irregardless of the actual votes and electoral college." He goes on to say, "I don't know that for certain, however. It sounds so far like the DNC will not concede the election at any point until they win, possibly by fraudulent mail-in voting. Yes, we should all vote, and I agree with David's statement. We should all vote." Now, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I would never do that. If you are an American citizen, you have a right to cast your vote for whoever you want to vote for. You can write in Mickey Mouse. You can write in yourself. You can do whatever you want to do. But let me tell you something. You need to vote. I am going to be voting for Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump back in 2016, and I will be voting for Donald Trump again, Lord willing, on November 3rd, assuming that we have elections. And it is beyond important. And when I tell you that you need to vote for the candidate of your choice, you really need to vote. Now is not the time to be standing on some ideological principle and I can't vote for either side because there's problems. This is not the year to make that position. You need to vote, and I am going to be voting for Donald Trump, and I have no problem with that. You will not see a Trump sticker or a sign on my car because I don't want my windows smashed. You will not see a Trump sign on the front of my studio windows because I don't want a brick thrown through my window of my beautiful brand new studios that we just built. But you will see me talk about Donald Trump all over social media. If you go to my Facebook page, you will see a big black and white banner that says, "Vote for Donald Trump." And I'm doing everything that I possibly can to make sure that other people vote. So David says that we should all vote, especially Christians who hope to maintain a less threatening administration against the a less threatening administration against Christians, and so that we can have the right to assemble. He says, "What can we realistically do above that?" And the answer is, there is nothing. We live in a time where Bible prophecy is beginning to come true. And we are living in the last days. Paul said that they are in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we talked in the first hour about those perilous times from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. And I showed you those 18 characteristics. 18 is 6 plus 6 plus 6. The 18 characteristics that Paul says will be part and parcel of the last time. And every single one of those 18 characteristics, 6 plus 6 plus 6, are all personality traits and characteristics of Antichrist. So, we knew that these days would come at some point. These days are here. And hopefully, I have done my part to mentally prepare you for the spiritual battle that we are in the middle of right now. It's not a battle that's coming. It's a battle that has begun. And when we started Now the End Begins 11 years ago, well, I talked about a day that was going to come one day soon. I anticipated that it was would likely happen under the Obama administration. But as it turns out, it was the Obama administration that has paved the foundation for what we're seeing today. But, and I'm going to put this graphic into the chat room, I want to share with you, for those of you who have not seen it, and you can go to the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive. It's web.archive.org. And this is the place that takes random snapshots of every website in the entire world. And this is from February 25th of 2010. And I want to show you the graphic that we used to have on version 1.0 of Now the End Begins 11 years ago. And take a look at that graphic. I made that graphic. But I want you to pay attention to what I wrote in the bottom left-hand corner. This is February of 2010. And I wrote, "The coming betrayal of America. For generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom for people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those sworn to protect her, her leaders." And again, I refer you. Okay, I refer you to this comment, and I'm going to keep playing this comment for the next 37 days until everyone can recite this comment in their sleep.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
In the bottom of that graphic, I wrote, "America is about to be forever silenced by those people who have been sworn to protect her, her leaders." And we are living in a day and age where what I wrote back in 2010 is on the verge of coming true right now. And if the radical left gains control on November 3rd, this country is done. It is over. Black Lives Matter will be exalted to a level that you can't even begin to imagine. And socialism, which will lead to Marxism, will begin to take root in America. And the radical fringes of Congress, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, all those people will be exalted to a position of prominence. Can you imagine what it would be like if AOC had 10 times the amount of power that she does right now? Can you imagine what it would be like if Ilhan Omar was in a position where the president agreed with her tactics? Story about her today. Ilhan Omar, where is it here? It is, Donald Trump demands U.S. attorneys launch an investigation into Ilhan Omar following report that her supporters illegally harvested ballots in Minnesota. And that's what's happening now. And, all over the country, we are seeing videos being posted on Twitter and on YouTube of people who are taking ballots for Donald Trump, and they're throwing them in the garbage, and they're laughing about it, and they're bragging about it. Project Veritas, they released a video today. I haven't had time to watch it yet, but they have released a video today showing that the supporters of Ilhan Omar were illegally harvesting ballots. He has the proof on video. And this is where we are right now. So when I said 10 years ago that the days were coming when America was going to be betrayed, that's actually came true. That is happening right now. James Paul Warburg, he said this before the U.S. Senate back in 1952. He said, "We shall have world government, whether or not we like it." And he says that the only question is, will this new world order, will this one world government, will it be achieved by consent or conquest? And he said that before the Senate back in 1952. And it's taken a couple of generations, but here we are. And it looks like the answer to Warburg's question is conquest. And that's exactly what's behind everything that you see from Black Lives Matter. Those clips that I played about all the diners being harassed and the tables being flipped over and all the intimidation that's happening right now. That is happening to intimidate people, to get them to go along with this Marxist plan to overthrow America. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? If every single person who listens to this program decides that they are not going to give in to the New World Order, if they are not going to give in to this Marxist system, I mean, we would have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who would be willing to stand up and to stand against this nonsense. Now, how do you stand against it? You do what the apostles did. Acts chapter 5, just turn to Acts chapter 5 for a moment. Acts chapter 5, you look at the last three verses, verses 40 through 42. "And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now that's what you and I should be doing. We should be teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Now, what does that have to do with a Marxist takeover of America? It has plenty to do with stopping a Marxist takeover of America. Because if you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be standing up for the greatest truth that this world has ever seen. I am a Republican. I'm a conservative. But are there lots of people in the Republican Party who are habitual liars? Absolutely there is. I'm not a Democrat. I've never been a Democrat. But are there lots of people in the Democratic Party who are habitual liars? Absolutely there are. But Jesus Christ, he's never lied about anything. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you stand up for him, then you are standing up for ultimate truth. You are standing up for absolute truth. So the question is as we begin to see these riots increase over the next 37 days, remember the title of our show today, the title of our show is 37 Days Until the Promised Burning Down of America by the Democrats and the Radical Left Will Take Place. So we only have basically 36 days now because it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We only have a little more than, well, we have about 5 weeks until the election. But remember, tomorrow night is going to start the first of three presidential debates, and they are going to be every single inflection, every single word, every single thing that was said or not said is going to be pored over and examined and twisted and turned. And the next 36 days, the next 37 days are going to be a time of great confusion, a time of great confusion. So you have to do your best to stay above that fray. I am purposely not driving to downtown areas when I think that there might be a protest going on. And why? Because if I were to be involved in that protest, would I start preaching about Jesus Christ? I absolutely would. But depending on what the other side was saying, in my flesh, could they get me to react in the way that they want people to react? And could they get me to start screaming and shouting and taking their signs and breaking them in half? And yeah, absolutely. So I don't get involved with those stupid protests and those stupid riots, because that's where all the anger is. That's where all the problem is. And if you want to get something done for the Lord, you've got to rise above all of that stuff. Now, that said, if I'm driving my car down the street and I see that the road is blocked by rioters and people are yelling and screaming and throwing things, I'm not stopping my car. I'll slow down, but I'm not stopping my car. I will go right through that line of people, and I don't see any other way around it. Go to Google sometime and look up Reginald Denny and see who he was and see what happened to him in 1992 in the race riots in downtown Los Angeles. Reginald Denny was a truck driver, and he simply made the wrong turn and found himself in the middle of a race riot over Rodney King in downtown Los Angeles. Well, those riot, now he stopped his truck. He stopped his truck, and that allowed the rioters to climb up, to open his door, to smash his windows, and to pull him out, and they beat that man into a coma, and he almost died. So I will not be stopping my vehicle if I come along a road where people are rioting. But that said, I am going to do my very, very, very best to stay away from those people so I don't have to be put into a situation like that. And I would highly recommend that you prayerfully consider doing that as well. Stay away from the riots. Don't get into a war in your flesh, because that's exactly what the devil wants to have happen, is to drag down somebody who was trying to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get caught in the flesh. And then you wind up going to jail. And then now what happens? What happened to your testimony for the Lord? You're not going to see people get saved by throwing things at the rioters and yelling back when they're screaming. So I would recommend that, if at all possible, that not only do you stay away from these riots, but if you, and I've said this multiple times, but if you live in a democratically controlled major city, and if you have the ability, at least for the next month or two, to leave that area, you should prayerfully consider getting out. No matter who wins the election, doesn't matter if Biden wins, it doesn't matter if Trump wins, the reaction is going to be largely the same, with the exception that if Trump wins, you are going to see burning and looting and shooting and raping and killing and rioting on a level that we have not seen yet, and we've seen some pretty bad things. I told you just a couple of days ago that the damage that's been done by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. It passed $2 billion worth of damage, $2 billion with a B. And it's become the most costly series of riots that this country has ever seen. $2 billion worth of damage, and the damage is still going on. Now, it's probably closer to $2.5 billion because the assessment was made back in the beginning of June. And here we are at the end of September, almost October. So I am sure it's a whole lot closer to $2.5 billion than it is to $2 billion. But just think about how much money that is. Think about how many entire city blocks have been destroyed and burned and looted. And so now you flash forward to this past Saturday, just 2 days ago. You flash forward to this past Saturday, and President Trump is doing his constitutionally appointed duty, and he is nominating somebody to fill a vacancy for the U.S. Supreme Court. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself is on record as saying that the American people do not elect a president for a 3-year term with a 1-year lame duck term. Every single American president is elected to operate at the peak of his capacity for the entire 4-year period of time. There is no reason that Donald Trump should not appoint somebody to fill the seat of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There's no reason on earth for him to not do that. Now, you know that if the situation was flipped and it was the Democrats who had the same opportunity, if it was the Democrats in power and they had an election coming up, you know that they would fight tooth and nail to be able to appoint somebody to fill that seat. So it is very hypocritical and very disingenuous for anybody on the left right now to be saying that Donald Trump should not appoint somebody to fill the seat, because if the left had the opportunity, it is a 1,000% guarantee that they would do that. Anybody would do that. Why on earth would you not do that? But they're going to be fighting him tooth and nail every step of the way for the next 36 or 37 days. And honestly, should Donald Trump win, it is going to be a very, very, very bad time. But it's going to be a bad time either way. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to vote for Trump because I want to have him as president over Joe Biden and then Kamala Harris, because the Democrats know that Joe Biden is just about completely out of gas. He has taken 33% of the entire month of September and has made no appearances. He's given no interviews. He's given no press conferences for over 33% of the month of September. On the other side of the coin, Donald Trump has been flying to multiple states multiple times per week, and he has been making dozens and dozens of rallies and speeches and giving interviews and talking about the campaign. Donald Trump is highly energized. Joe Biden, on the other hand, every time he opens his mouth to speak, never mind the nonsense that he says. Last week he talked about how he first arrived at the Senate 180 years ago. That's an actual clip. So don't pay attention to the nonsense that comes out of his mouth. Listen to his breathing. He is constantly taking these long, exhaustive, deep breaths, and everything that he is doing is exhausting him because he is old and he's not in good shape. He brags about his shape, but he is not in good shape. He has no cardio. He has no stamina. And the reason for that is because he has rapidly declining mental function. And I don't say that to be mean or insulting, but my ex-father-in-law has been diagnosed with early onset dementia. And so I, from all my conversations with him and watching how he operates, one of the things that somebody with early onset dementia struggles with is they get very agitated, they get very angry, and they have all these outbursts of temper. And watch when Biden talks, when somebody says something that he doesn't like, he can barely contain himself, and his eyes flash, and he just lashes out. But that is a sign of early onset dementia. And so they are doing their very, very, very best to keep him out of public view. He can't even have an off-the-cuff interview with a Democratic news outlet without reading his thoughts from a teleprompter. And I have seen multiple videos of Biden sitting in a room with the interviewer, and the interviewer is looking at Biden, and Biden is looking at the teleprompter, and all the questions that they're asking him have already been handed to him in advance. They are these softball, super crazy, easy questions to answer. And even that, he cannot answer those questions without the help of a teleprompter. So the Democrats know this, but that's why they want Joe Biden as their candidate. Because the whole point is to get Kamala Harris in. And Kamala Harris, she is dirty, she is corrupt, she is a pathological liar. And there's all sorts of nasty stuff that she's done over the years. And if you vote for Joe Biden, that's exactly who is going to wind up being the next president of the United States. It's not going to be Joe Biden. It's going to be Kamala Harris. And so you need to consider those things if you're thinking about voting for Joe Biden. So this is where we stand with 36, 37 days left to go. This is where we stand in America. And it's a scary place to be because at the very least, the one thing that you could count on in this country is law and order. But the Democrats, they want to tear down law and order. And they want to replace law and order with feelings and with emotions. And they want to defund the police nationwide. Bill de Blasio, 2 months ago, he cut $1 billion out of the budget of the entire New York City police force. And crime almost immediately began to skyrocket. And that's exactly what you have in a society when you no longer have the police. And this is what they do in countries where there's going to be a socialist or a Marxist or a communist takeover of that country. What you have is you have anarchist groups that are sent out to intimidate the people to get them to be too afraid to do anything, to get them to hide in their houses. And then what they do is they remove the law and order from power. And without law and order, criminals flourish to a very, very high degree. I wrote this article last week where I said the Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa are the enemies of a free society, and I called for these people to be declared as domestic terrorist groups immediately. And when you read the article, I show you the satanic nature of Black Lives Matter. and I show you the satanic nature of Antifa. Somebody said on Twitter to me yesterday that I shouldn't try to tie in a spiritual component to the riots. And when I look at it, I see nothing but a spiritual component. Did you know that the Black Lives Matter founders, like Patrice Cullors, they have admitted that when they do things like saying, say her name, you've seen those hashtags that say her name, that they are actually channeling spirits that they are trying to call up from the dead to indwell them and to lead them and guide them in their fight to destroy the United States. Now, this is based on an African spiritual system called Yoruba. And Yoruba is a pagan sacrificial system that is very similar to elements of Santeria and of voodoo. It is demonic. But that is exactly what the founders of Black Lives Matter believe. They say this: we are invoking our ancestors. The conversation between two Black Lives Matter activists took place after a live performance art event by Patrice Cullors entitled A Prayer for the Runner. And they say this: the Yoruba religion of Ifa is a system of spiritual divination that is practiced in West Africa. And they say, hashtags for us are way more than a hashtag. When we use hashtags like say her name and BLM, it is literally resurrecting a spirit so that it can work through us so that we can get the work that we need to get done. So, you have the founders of Black Lives Matter telling you that they are following a pagan African spiritual system called Yoruba. And this is why we say that the Black Lives Matter movement is demonic. Because anything connected with Santeria, anything connected with voodoo, anything connected with paganism ultimately has its roots in Satan. I'm not talking about the Church of Satan people who are just a big mess who believe 15 different things. But what I am talking about is that the Black Lives Matter movement, as a movement, it is based on the African religion, West African religion of Yoruba. And this is why everything, why do you think that they demanded that George Floyd be given five different funerals in a bronze and gold covered casket? Did you ever wonder about that? Why do you think it is that Black Lives Matter have created shrines to people like Breonna Taylor? And they go to these shrines and they invoke these spirits and they pray to the spirits of these dead people. And they admit that they do these things. This isn't me slandering the Black Lives Matter movement. This is me telling you what they believe. This is me telling you why they do what they do. So at its heart, Black Lives Matter is a religion. It is a spiritual system based on West African paganism. And these people get all fired up and they get all filled with these different spirits that they are praying to. And then what do? They go out and they burn and they loot and destroy. And as they do it, they say stuff like this. Fuck your Jesus. So there you have Black Lives Matter rioters, and you heard what they were shouting, you heard what they were screaming, and that's exactly what you could expect to hear from people who were filled with satanic spirits. So this is where we are, people. We are in a physical battle that has spiritual roots. And just like what you can expect in the end times, the supernatural and the natural are beginning to merge. And when we look at the riots, this is exactly what we see. We see the merging of the spiritual, the physical, and the supernatural. They are all coming together. But we've been telling you this for many, many, many months now. I wrote this article called "It's Time to Open Your Eyes to the Fact That the Spirit of Antichrist is Now Here and That We Are at War Whether You Want to Be or Not." And the Apostle Paul says that if you're saved, that God has chosen you to be a soldier. And Paul says that we are to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And what do soldiers do? Soldiers fight battles. Soldiers fight wars. In Sunday school, we sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers." And why? Because that is the nature of the born-again Christian. And when you turn to places like Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, what do you see? You see us as soldiers, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. But before we go, Brother David in the chat room says, "I have an urgent prayer request." He says, "I am asking for people to commit to praying for my daughter. She has broken out with poison ivy, and she's been treated with doctor's medicine, but it's only getting worse, and she has not been able to sleep for the past 4 nights. Lori D says, "I want to thank everybody for all of your prayers for our family. We said goodbye to my sister-in-law, Rita, yesterday." And then she says, "Thank you, Phyllis, for staying up late with me on Wednesday night." Please keep David and his daughter as she battles this poison ivy in your prayers. Please keep Lori D and her family, and let Lori continue to be a strong witness. She has a lot of lost family members, and we all do. We all have a lot of lost family members. So we open the show in prayer. Let's close the show in prayer and ask for the Lord to help and to do something. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for all these that you've gathered. Please help David's daughter with her poison ivy, and that can be very painful, and I'm sure it's bleeding and cracking and itching. So we just lift her up, and we lift up David and his family, and we ask you for healing for his daughter. Pam says that she's been suffering from migraines, and she would like prayer for a healing with the migraine headaches. And Lori D, Lord, we ask you to just continue to give her opportunities to witness for you and to be bold and be courageous and to comfort her family after the passing of Rita. And we certainly do hope and pray that Rita knew you and that she's with you in heaven right now. And Father God, I just pray for every single member of the Now the End Begins family of believers here in America and around the world. Make us bold. Make us be willing to run into the battle, not to fight the fight in the flesh, but to fight the good fight, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to finish our course with joy, and to be looking for you to come get us, Lord, that we might receive a crown of righteousness. And God, I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for everything that you do. And I thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that you've saved me. And I'm sure that every single person here who's saved agrees with that prayer for their salvation. And again, Lord, if there's a lost person listening to this broadcast, I pray that something has been said and done that would lead that person to you. And we thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Remember to watch the debates tomorrow night. It's going to be the most watched debate in American history. Guaranteed. There's no question about it. There will be millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people tuning in tomorrow night. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great and safe week, everybody.